my favorite games to play with youth is something called a word association. I say a word, and they say the first word that comes to mind after they hear that word. For instance, if I say the word school, someone will blurt out homeroom. Someone else will blurt out, I hate it. And so on. That's the first thing that comes to their mind. That's the word. So, a little word association here. I'm going to say a word, one word. And I want you to tell me, I want you to raise your hand quickly, without thinking, just tell me the first word that comes to your mind. All right? The word is work. Work.
Retired.
Yes. What? Who said what? Retired back there? All right. Anybody else? What else do you hear the word work? Yes.
Fun.
Fun?
Yes.
I thank God. Yes.
Pay.
Pay. All right. Yes.
Labor.
Labor. What else?
Obligation.
Yeah. Multiplication. Number work. How many people file the word taxes? Anybody? Work. No, I mean, how many people file the word taxes when I said work? All right. One person thought of the word fun. That's great. Did anyone think of the word joy when you hear the word work? Anyone put joy and work together? All right. One out of a couple hundred. Not bad. So joy is not the first word that comes to mind when we hear work. Why is that? Is that because there's not much joy in most jobs? Or is the joy the money that comes from work? And if you were to take the word work, and you were taking all the adjectives that you could think of to describe work, where would joy fit on your list? It'd be number 10 or 20, or would it not make the list at all? There are lots of people who labor without joy. We've all had the experience of the skinny sandwich. Some restaurants advertise, come to our restaurant, you'll lose weight. And I visited some of those restaurants, and I said, well, of course you'll lose weight because they don't give you any food. You pay $7 for like a foot-long sandwich, and it's like one meal. You don't lose weight that way. And you look at the person preparing the sandwich for you, and you think, would you eat the sandwich that you're preparing for me? You're probably not. We've all had the experience of being disappointed by someone we've hired to do something for us. We've all had the experience of being treated poorly in a way that the person treating us would not want to be treated. As a personal example, this last week, we had some of our landscaping changed. We have some flower beds that we got tired of weeding, so we decided to take them out and replace them with sod. I found somebody around the neighborhood who mows lawns and said, you know, do we sod? I said, yes, we do that. So they came, they put the sod down and did a terrible job. They actually missed a few areas. They were short a few pieces and they were short a sprinkler head. And they said, well, we'll come back tomorrow. Of course, we in good faith we came here. And they didn't come back tomorrow. So I went and bought the sprinkler head at the sod. And I guess those people don't labor with joy because they looked at what they did. You know, how can you feel joy about what you did here? And it's not just workers who labor without joy. There are a lot of students, their job is career, and they don't have joy in their learning. I asked many of my young friends, do you like going to school? They say, no, I don't. Do you like doing homework? No, nobody does that. Very few people like doing homework. Do you enjoy studying for tests? No, I just study so I can pass. I can get a good grade. In fact, I confess, back when I was in college, I had a four-word system for how I learned. It was called read, retain, regurgitate, release. There's not much joy in that. Now that I'm older, I appreciate the opportunity to learn. I actually enjoy opening a book and learning something. I wish that I had enjoyed learning 20 years ago. And there are probably parents who don't much care for parenting. Sadly, there are priests, doctors, and probably every profession out there where people just go through the motions. Now, why am I talking about work and joy? Obviously, this weekend we're celebrating Labor Day, and it's a holiday ostensibly honoring those who labor. for the day of rest from their labors. And for some of us, labor is just that, a day off. And for many in 2011, labor is a day of sadness and frustration. There are many people who are out of work who want to be laboring. And we must continue praying, working whatever way we can to get our economy and our country back on track so that there are jobs for those who want and those who need to work. And on that note, I am aware of many people in our community who are out of work, and I know that there are some people in our community who are fortunate enough to own their own businesses and to hire people. And if you're looking for a particular skill set of people, I may know something in our congregation. Again, I don't advertise this publicly because most people approach me confidentially with things. So if you are hiring somebody, you need some skill set of worker, please come and ask me because we may have someone in need in our community who will fit the bill. And why not start by helping one another in our own community? But I encourage all of you as we celebrate Labor Day this year to reflect on your labors, whatever they are. Be they in a job, be they as a parent, in taking care of a home, in studying in school, in whatever labor you are involved. After all, labor does not only refer to that for which we are paid, but reflect on whatever labor you're involved in, and reflect on whether that labor is done with joy or merely out of obligation. I remember one time in my last community, we had this elderly woman who used to bake prosper. Her name was Mary. Go figure, all prosper babies are Mary. So Mary one time brought me a prosper, and the seal on the prosper was blurry, didn't bake the right way. And Mary says, I feel bad about offering you this prosper. I said, why do you feel bad? She said, because the seal is blurry and you can't read it very well. And I said, Mary, when you were in your kitchen baking this, were you working in joy? She said, yes, I love baking prosciutto. I always enjoy that. And I said, well, if you are offering that in joy, then I'm going to accept it in gratitude. How can I not accept it in gratitude if you're offering in joy? If you're offering out of obligation, then maybe I may accept it with some criticism. But if you're offering it in joy, then I accept it in gratitude. Now, the gospel lesson this morning is about a young man who didn't have some joy, who didn't have joy in his life. He was interested in attaining eternal life, but when he approached the Lord, he asked him, what must I do to gain eternal life? As if to say, what is the minimum that's required for me to do to have eternal life? For him, the journey did not seem like a joyful one, but rather it checked off obligations. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, I have kept all those things since my youth. Jesus looks into the man's heart, and he sees a thing that is lacking. It's lacking joy, and it's lacking honesty. No one follows all the commandments all the time. And the joy in being a Christian is not just the end of the journey, but making the journey is part of the joy. There will be no joy at the end if there's no joy in the middle. Jesus looks into the man's heart and tells him specifically, sell what you have and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Jesus didn't do that because following the commandments is a bad thing. It was good that man was not killing or stealing or honoring his father or mother. But he said to that man, sell what you have and follow me so that you can have true joy. Because if you labor without joy, one is missing out on the true reward. This gospel lesson is so important that it is heard two times a year, around the beginning of the Ecclesiastical year, through the Gospel of Matthew, and around Thanksgiving time, we will hear it through the Gospel of Luke. It's just a coincidence that Labor Day and this gospel coincide this year. So the challenge for you this week, we're in the challenges. The challenge for you this week, I mean, or I am, you're trying to challenge yourself with them, is to reflect on your labors, be they professional, family, in whatever other ways you are laboring, and ask yourself, is my labor out of joy, out of love, or merely out of obligation? I remember when I was a deacon and I was serving the Metropolitan in Boston, and we were at a funeral. He was standing up in front of the funeral, and I was standing next to him holding his very heavy book. for him. And I remember being grabbed by the shoulder, and he pulled me next to him, and he whispered loudly in my ear. He said, when you do a funeral, you look in the casket and you see your own mother and father there every single time. And he pushed me away. And by extension, he later told me, whoever weddings, if it's your mother, excuse me, your brother, your sister, whoever you baptize, like it's your kid, hear every confession as if it's your own, and do every liturgy as if it's your first one and your last one. Do them with joy, do them with need. And I have tried to do that. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But the same piece of advice works for doctors. Imagine if you're the patient. It works for teachers. Imagine if your child is in the class. It works for parents. Imagine you were the child listening to yourself as a parent. It works for teenagers. I remind them often. Imagine your child debating with you the same way you debate with your parents. What would you tell them? So the challenge for this week is identify one aspect of your labor that you could inject more joy into. Identify one aspect of your labor that you could inject more joy into. There has to be a reason to labor other than just money, because when we die, we won't take the profit of our labors with us, only the death. We won't have to make an account before God how much money we made, but how sincere we were, how dedicated we were in earning it. The Psalms tell us, unless the Lord builds the house, the workers labor in vain. So whatever we're doing, we're supposed to have the Lord in the lead of it. That includes our labors. Think of your job as a ministry. There are people involved, and your job is a ministry. And you say, well, I mow lawns. What people are involved? People that own the houses and mow the lawns for. I deliver the mail. People that live in those houses deliver the mail. And so on. Everybody has a job that involves people. People are trusting you to treat them fairly and do a good job for them. We live in a culture of distrust, which can be fixed only when we all work sincerely for one another. When we work with joy and not just with the bottom line. Again, the challenge for this week, identify one aspect of your labor you can inject more joy into. And if you are one of the fortunate few that's doing well in this economy and is hiring people in your business, please come and see me. You're probably good for our community if you use the word. Enjoy a labor-free day tomorrow, and when the labor starts up again on Tuesday, don't drag yourself out of obligation. Go with joy. Have a wonderful day tomorrow.